and we will reconvene the local station board meeting at this time. And we're ready for public comments. Thank you, Adam.
Public comment.
On a point of it, could you, for the new members of the board, I don't think it's Robert's rules or bylaws, but no response or comment is made by any board member to any statement made by the public. That's just our practice traditionally. It's just better. I support that practice. So no response is required or desired.
Sandy, you're on the time for the segment.
Right, 15 minutes.
Yes, thank you. John Sirin, you're on time for. Thank you.
One thing I've noticed recently in the fundraisers is that we seem to be pushing large packages for which a large dollar premium is expected. We used to be more cognizant of offering premiums at many different levels at all times during the fund drive. I think that's important. I think we need to go back to that. I think ignoring the possibility of bringing in other dollar amounts other than $250 at a crack is something we should focus on. There should be 50, 100, 125, 75, you know. Just in the interest of broadening support, I would rather have, if I was a business person and this being a business and a capitalist enterprise, whether we like it or not, I'd rather have $1 from a million people than $1 million from one person. So I think that's kind of obvious. And, you know, since the station manager's not here, it's up to the LSP to pass that information on. So.
All right. Thank you.
Greetings, everybody. I apologize for being late. As you guys know, a lot has happened in the last 500 days or so last year. I was hoping to address the board, so those of you who are here doing public comment, thank you so much. Thank you, Sharon, for the last year on the board. I had served as board chair. It's not an easy position. I'm also an LAUSD high school teacher. I work with the students in South Central this year. I worked in East LA. And I understand that we're going through a whole entire, I guess we can call it a Trump effect. I've seen that at the school level. In terms of education, we have a non-commercial educational license for broadcasting. We need to protect those professors and the teachers who are standing in the voice. Dr. Horn and Dr. Abdullah have been listed as blacklisted as professors. Wow. Dr. Horn is one of our co-producers on Freedom Now. We need to make sure that these voices are heard. I understand when we all come to the table here respectfully, it is the one difficult place that you do get that one free speech place. So it is a point of power. It is also a nonprofit. It has the possibility. It's hard to not behave as that 1%, which may serve you at this time if you are part of the public that has the money. Okay.
Hi, thanks. For the new board members that don't know, I'm a former member of the board. I just termed out. My name is Michael Novick. I'm serving out in about another month or so on the Pacifica National Board. I want to welcome the new people to the board. I have a couple of comments very briefly about board functioning. When John Gary was the secretary, he maintained a book that had all the past motions that the board enacted. I don't know if that's still the case, but I think it would be advisable for the new board members to get access to the previously passed motions. Some of those include repeated motions from this board to reinstate a full hour-long evening newscast on the station. a call for local station board to have a period to do dialogue with the listener on the air. I think all those would be very helpful things to try to enact at some point. There was a call for a strategic planning process, engaging the station management, the staff, and the governance to look at what the future of the station should be. I think any of those motions that were passed are still relevant and would be helpful. Another one was for this board to engage in fundraising. There were several methods suggested. One was seeking sustainers for the station. The other one that the national board passed is for the board as a whole to try to find people who would make no interest loans to Pacifica for fundraising purposes. Thank you.
Hi there. Most of you know me. I'm a former board member. Welcome to the new people. I was also formerly a treasurer, and so my main interest is always the finances. And, boy, so little time, so much misinformation this morning. But let's start with this FCC waiver issue that she wrote about in here. I see the answer from somebody at the FCC, but I don't see the question that was asked of the FCC, and this is from 2014. I really hope you get to... I know there's a motion, but this is about the third-party fundraising going on air, and I hope you find out a little bit more about that. Also, the money that is being collected does not appear to be put in. It's not reflected in the financials. So there's a big chunk of change that's just sort of disappearing. I hope you all can find out about that. KPFK has not had a business manager for almost 4 years. Once again, we're waiting for a background check. We were there about, 8 months ago, a year ago, when we were waiting for a background check, and we still don't have anyone, so hopefully that will happen. Milo was closest to the CPB status, and it's not a secret. I have information from, about...
Point of order for our LSB to wait until we're called upon to make comments.
Okay. John?
Yes, I strongly encourage the delegates' officers to prepare ballots for the January meeting. Please prepare a ballot that has all the names of all the nominees, so when people vote, they just put little numbers by the names instead of having to write down the individual names and go crazy doing it. And make sure to do two separate ballots. Don't combine staff and listener on the same ballot. We did that years ago, and it ended up in a lawsuit. So be very, very careful preparing these paper ballots to make the voting go smoother. Robert's Rules doesn't say a lot about the contents of minutes. I think it says that debate should not be included. So that's, like Mr. Beek said, if you want to have more in the minutes, you can. But I never did because it was a lot of work. So if you want to make governance minutes with discussion, that's your choice. Robert's Rules, I don't think, requires a debate. The GM talked about the mistrust and bad intentions within the Pacifica community. The mistrust is unbelievable because I have heard people on both slates accuse members of the opposing slates of deliberately trying to destroy the foundation and sell off assets for personal gain. I don't know how you can sell a license and get personal gain from it. I assume that the station crashed, the license would revert back to the FCC. But I've heard incredible mistrust over the years. I hope you don't continue it.
Is it a possibility to ask a question regarding what happened a couple of years ago?
No.
Okay, so we're in the middle of public comments. Let's get through those first.
Yo voy a hablar en español.
She's going to speak in Spanish.
Okay. Gracias para una otra oportunidad para continuar mi conversación.
Thank you for giving me another opportunity to speak here.
La primera parte, por favor. Yo quería dar las gracias al señor Rezapur por sus muchos años para contribuir para la comunidad. Él hace mucho dinero, más que podemos hacer en un grupo. A veces él puede traer tan mucho dinero de su trabajo, y yo quería dar las gracias a él en respeto de Freedom Now y la comunidad y de los estudiantes lo que represento.
First of all, I'd like to thank Rosa Poor for his contribution, his efforts from the part of myself and from Freedom Now for all the community service that he does.
Y también todo el dinero que
and all the money that he raises for JPFK.
Y para continuar, yo quería hablar porque yo entiendo que estamos un grupo y de personas como héroes superiores, y estamos de una cultura de cultura nuestra. I get double, it's translation time.
It's traditional and translation. Wait, point of order.
Point of order.
May I be recognized?
I'd
like
no,
to ask.
No, you may not.
Well, it's a point of order.
Okay.
Let's let Ms. Normally, let me just say that it is a custom that we allow for extra time when speakers are being translated, and I'm wondering whether the timekeeper has taken that into consideration.
I am.
It's consideration.
And I'll allow her to continue. Thank you.
Okay. Y de eso es importante que tenemos mucho poder en nuestros corazones, pero tenemos un equipo aquí para representar para la gente en el mundo. Okay, las voces en el mundo y las voces de la juventud.
And I'd also like to say that we have superior heroes, people that we respect, and we as a network, as KPFK, we have the position, the privileged position to speak for those voices.
La juventud.
The youth.
Especially
the youth.
Okay. Y esta es una oportunidad muy original que no hay otro grupo para hablar con libertad. Y es muy importante que tenemos mucho respeto. También tenemos para el dinero, tenemos trabajo para hacer el dinero, pero también tenemos una un trabajo para proteger las voces, para educación, para la juventud, para la libertad y para la vida.
And also, the youth is a group that is regularly excluded, and it's not only just the fact that we need to raise the money, it's just that we need to serve as a voice for those who are out there, especially the youth, towards their freedom and their contributions.
Gracias.
Thank you. So just a note to local station board members, and especially during public comments, because we want to respect the public. If you have any concerns, please defer to me. I took into consideration that our last public comments, which we had allocated 15 minutes for, lasted less than 5. So if we went a little over this time, you know, that's fine. Okay. Thank you.
2 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, but we still have time left over from the last public comment, so that's okay.
Yeah, I'll speak to a little bit of mistrust. Last year was, I'm not sure how to describe it, but I will use my phrase, union busting on the staff. It started about a year and a half ago that resulted in a $300,000 penalty from SAG-AFTRA, which we're now paying off this year. And where that money is coming from is money is not being sent to the national office. So we're apparently supposedly getting a business manager that's also going to be shared with the national office that they're going to pay some from. They don't have any money to pay for anything because nobody's able to pay them, and now including KPFK. We owe them $250,000 from about 2 years ago. I don't believe that we have paid any central services yet this year. Hopefully we'll get some financials to find out. So, yeah, there's a lot of mistrust. And what happened to our staff was really from a supposedly progressive organization to do flat-out union busting is something else.
Thank you. Are there any other public comments? Michael, please go ahead.
She says I have 30 seconds, so what I would like to ask is that I be added to your agenda under item 8, PMB directives, since I am still a PMB director.
Noted. Public comments are now ended. We're going to national reports from the PMB directors. I will add Michael Novick as a PMB director. Jan Goodman, you're up first.
Maybe since Michael Novick had... Okay. I'm going to report on the affiliate directors' election and the affiliate directors' committee very briefly. The affiliate directors get elected by the affiliate directors for the following year get elected by the national board that is outgoing, and that is what will be happening next week. Just so everybody knows, we have about 150 or so affiliate stations around the country who use our uploads for their stations, and we get paid. It used to be enough to support the national as recently as a year ago or 2 years ago. It was enough to support the entire national office, the money that the affiliate directors paid. In this last year, we have not had as tight a control, because instead of the affiliate office signing the contracts, they're now being sent to the national office, and the national office is taking longer than usual to sign those. So we're in a little bit of a cash flow crunch there. But the important thing is that there is going to be an election on December 15th, and the New York, pardon?
2 minutes.
Is that, my time is up?
Yeah, that's what we have as 2 minutes.
It's not up yet. Two more minutes.
Oh, I have
no.
Yeah.
Okay, everybody's speaking 2 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Jonathan Alexander, would you like to continue?
May I respectfully ask to extend time since we had our elections? I was just informed that the reason that we were given.
Yeah, I think that this whole thing about the affiliate directors is very important. I think that we need to hear that. Please go ahead. Let's let Jan finish first.
Just to the same issue, and that is previously.
Let's do that during question and answers, okay? Jan?
Okay. Anyway, so the the National Board has been short three directors because the National Board never seated three of the people from WBAI in New York. And the people who were elected in this last election just met a couple of days ago, and they elected people to fill the slots that had been empty. So hopefully the National Board will seat four people from WBAI, and that will then allow New York to be fully represented on the National Board. If they don't seat those people, it's very questionable as to whether or not the affiliate director election will be legitimate, because there'll be, instead of the 22 people from the National Board voting, it would be only 19 people. So this is an important election to be concerned about.
Thank you, Jan. Jonathan?
Didn't prepare my report, but briefly I wanted to talk about the certification of the election. It has been certified, so it is my expectation that the members from New York will be seated. And that is very important, as she said, so the affiliate vote can be done properly, as opposed to how some feel it was done last year. We've been operating with not proper representation from New York, and I think it's important that we do that, especially in light of the difficulties that our New York station is facing. But they are making changes there. Also, we have a lot of National Board meetings, and we've been having problems with what I'll describe as dilatory behavior on the part of some members. Our chair of the board is pretty good, and he handles himself pretty well, and he just runs into a lot of problems, and I hope we can avoid that here in these meetings, where we just spend a bunch of time amending motions and going back and forth and spending 10 minutes to extend 2 minutes. It's just, what really matters most in these meetings is efficiency and the will of the body, the consensus, getting things moved along. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Michael Novick. Michael?
Let Michael go.
Thank you. I have another month or so to serve on the Pacific National Board, and I'm currently the chair of the Pacific National Board Programming Committee and the National Board Finance Committee. I've also been serving on the Personnel Committee. The Personnel Committee is the process of trying to move forward on the hire of a chief financial officer and an executive director. We're awaiting approval from the PNB for an advertising budget for the CFO position, and then we'll move ahead on the process of the executive director hire as well. The National Programming Committee has put forward a couple of motions that haven't gotten to the floor because of some of what Jonathan's talking about wasting time on a lot of procedural stuff. One of those is calling for, one of them is moot because it was about the elections, which are over, the national elections. But we have a couple of motions pending. One is for Pacific-wide campaign for reportage during the first 100 days of the Trump administration, looking at what the Trump administration is trying to do, comparing it to what has been done in previous first 100 days and to what needs to be done, and also to look at efforts at countering some of the things that Trump might be doing. The idea would be to collaborate with our affiliates and with other media partners to project that as 100 days of reporting that would attract new listeners to Pacifica. The National Finance Committee is in the process of trying to work on the budgets for the current fiscal year, which we're already 2 months or more into. The National Office has been trying to assist, particularly WBAI and WPFW, both of which are having critical financial problems, and neither of which has a business manager in place to come up with budget proposals that can be incorporated into a consolidated budget document for the fiscal year that we're in already for the station as a whole. Just to correct what Jan said, it's never been the case that the affiliates' payments covered the cost of the national office. The national office budget in previous years was based on looking at what money could be raised from the CSA, it's the, I think, it's not sidebands, I forget what the correct word is now, subcarriers, SEA. There are subcarrier payments that go to the national office. There were affiliate payments go to the national office, and then the difference between what the costs of maintaining the national office are and those payments are met by the central service payments from the station. Stations also have central service obligations to the Pacific Radio Archives. KPFK, all of last year, was the only station that was current on its central service payments, both the national office and the archives. I don't know if I'm out of time. Or...
Okay, I just wanted to clarify that.
Grace,
thank you.
Okay, the first thing is the national board gave a date for the seating of new national board directors. It's going to be on January 26th. Our meeting where we vote on our four directors to represent us on the national board is going to happen on January 8th. That's an incredibly important meeting. The entire future of Pacifica may depend on the meeting. It is very important. So please be here January 8th to vote for national directors and start thinking about it and calling us if you have any questions. Jan, me, and Jonathan, and Michael, I'm sure would be happy to answer any questions you have about who has served well on the national board, who may serve well, etc. The other thing is I'm on the audit committee, the National Audit Committee, and also on the PNB. Lydia Brazon, our IED, stated that the foundation owes $32,000 roughly to the auditor, and that basically the audit probably won't be officially released until at least a significant amount of that money is paid. The auditor reiterated that on Wednesday evening. I'm not sure if any of that has been paid down, but right now we need to get that money paid for the 2014 audit. We also need to complete the 2015 and 2016 audits if we want to have any chance of regaining Corporation for Public Broadcast funding. From what I've heard, funding has already been allocated to the CPB by the federal government, so any Trump administration efforts to destroy or defund the CPB probably won't be effective until after this coming funding cycle. So that means at least $900,000 to $1 million for Pacifica if we can get those audits done. One of the principal things we have urged that a bookkeeper be hired for KPFK, because the lack of a bookkeeper here is one of the principal things that made the audit cost more, take as long as it took. And so we have, as a board, instructed our general manager to hire a bookkeeper. That was months and months ago that we made that motion. There's still no bookkeeper hired at KPFK, so I would urge that we reiterate that in any way we can. That's all I have for now.
I'm sorry. Jan, you wanted to make a clarification?
Yes, I wanted to just clarify the point that what I was saying. I was not saying that the money from the affiliates paid like directly to the national office. I was saying that it was approximately equivalent to the cost of running the national office, not that that money went directly there. And I also want to just alert people to the fact that one of the proposed solutions to the problem with WBAI, I mean, one of the big things is of course that one of the reasons that WBAI is having such a hard time is that they have a lease on a transmitting station on the Empire State Building, and it's just very burdensome. And one of the proposed solutions is to have a lease management agreement and basically lease out that station, and it's something that I think a majority of the board, and I think the management isn't very enthusiastic about it, but it's one of the things that is being considered, and so it's something that we really need to work hard about. And there's also a movement to have a day to raise money for the audit, just as we did for the archives. And you know, it's kind of a tricky thing because it's hard to say publicly, oh, we haven't had audits in so long. So, that is one of the potential things that people are thinking about. I think that these reports are to just try to keep people in the loop as to what's happening on the national board, on the national level.
Okay, Mr. Treasurer. The Treasurer's report?
Treasurer report.
Yeah, we're going to go into questions and answers next.
Excuse me, the point of information about the building, you just changed the date of the meeting to January 8th. I have to understand what the 15th. That's the one thing with this building, especially after these last elections, were really tightly booked up, and it's not available on the 8th. Oh. So I went by the motion that we did on the...
Okay, well, we may have to look into an alternate location. Mr. Treasurer?
Okay, well, this is my last treasurer's report for the year since I'm now the next treasurer, being replaced by Ken Aaron. I want to speak mostly about the meeting that took place of the National Finance Committee, which is one of the key jobs of the treasurer. The last meeting we had was on November 29th, and I believe the meeting was an hour and a half meeting followed by an executive session, which I can't go into. But basically, we spent that entire hour and a half talking about a motion having to do with the what?
I'm just suggesting you move over there so people on this side can see you better.
Oh. Thank you. Sorry. Okay. We spent an hour and a half talking about Serene Roberts' SCA motion having to do with the sideband money that the five stations get that goes to the national office. For those who don't know, that's basically $250,000 a year that goes to the national office. There's about $200,000 that goes to the national office from the affiliates' payments. I was very angry about that meeting. I didn't speak very much. I have been chastised that I should have abstained from voting on passing that motion back to the PNB. But basically, my feelings about this whole discussion about the sidebands money, it's a bunch of busy work because it doesn't raise one penny of money for Pacifica. This is all about internal payments and micromanaging those payments and micromanaging the central service payments by the stations. And that's all that this discussion has to do with. It has to do with the central service payments. The problem is not the central service payments. The problem is income. The reason that the stations owe $500,000 in central services for the 2016 fiscal year is because they haven't had the income. And basically, the East Coast stations are the worst. All the stations have paid central services, but the East Coast stations are the ones that are most in default, and the West Coast stations locations are the best. KPFK is supposedly the best, but we still, I just found out from our general manager that for November, she only paid half the central services. And I believe a couple of months ago, this board passed a motion requesting that the GM put the full central service payments into the budget. She's still insisting on paying only half of that to pay down the, to help pay down the fines from the SAG-AFTRA negotiations. I'm not else, I don't know what else I can tell you since I'm leaving. I'm no longer going to be the treasurer. Piers, you have a question?
Okay, hold on. We're going to go into question and answers as soon as you wrap it up.
Okay. It looks like the it looks like the December fund drive is starting off well, but the, all the December fund drives do well. That's just the time we seem to get a lot of money. That's about all I can say.
Okay, thank you. I'm going to start taking a stack for questions and answers.
Oh, thank you.
You're first. Dorothy?
I don't know if you know this answer or not. I don't know if anyone could find it out. What was, when we laid off or put everybody on half-time and we saved some money and then we got fined by SAG-AFTRA for doing that, what was the net? What did we, was that a net profit or a net loss to KPFK? I'm just curious. Is that a valid question?
Well, can I answer, provide sort of an answer? We haven't been provided with the settlement agreement. I don't know if Jan has been asking, have you gotten it?
Yes, we have gotten it.
Okay, I know that besides having to pay back pay, that there was a fine. I believe the fine was about $200,000.
No, that's not the case.
Okay, no crosstalk, please.
But that's the extent of my knowledge. I think the director should answer.
Okay. Mansoor?
Wait a minute. I'm going to answer. This is question and answer. Can I answer?
Okay.
So,
yes. Okay. So, just to explain to people who were not on the board or who are not aware of exactly what happened was there was a decision by the management of KPFK, and I believe it was, and with the national executive director, who started out to be John Prophet, was in place at the time, and then shortly thereafter, and before much of the conversation and negotiation around the putting people on half time, John Prophet left, and then Lydia Bazone as the executive director, as the chair of the PNB, became the interim executive director. And what happened was a determination was made to put people on half time, and then it was supposed to happen immediately, but the paperwork didn't actually get started until people were put already laid off. They people got a certain amount of money from the Department of the unemployment, basically the unemployment fund, so they got their halftime pay, and then they got some money from unemployment, and that was what happened. And the union asked to see the books because they were, according to the contract, they were entitled to have a discussion, essentially, about these reduction in hours. And executive director and the general manager are never allowed the SAG-AFTRA to see the books, and so the determination was made by the judge, the arbitrator, that
whatever it was that made the management know that they didn't have enough money to pay people, that they should have shared that with the union. And they, and because they never did, that was what ended up with causing this large fine. And just so that people understand what this what caused this whole problem. And the final agreement, which was never, you should know, was never seen or approved by the National Board, agreed, among other things, to pay the employees back the difference between the amount of money they earned plus the amount of money they got from unemployment. And so there was that amount. And then within that structure and during that time period, there, and part of the negotiation was that certain employees were offered to be able to take severance pay and vacation pay and so forth and leave the employment of Pacifica. And that was during, and that option was taken during the time when people were on half pay, and so it's now a question of whether or not some of those employees want to know whether or not they can renegotiate that. So, but that's just a question. Oh, I thought that was okay. So, what part of the question did that not answer?
The question was, on a whole, did the station save or lose money by cutting the salaries?
Oh, we lost a tremendous amount of money.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, we lost about $150,000. I mean, with the penalties. With the penalties, more than that.
It's more than that, I'm almost definitely sure. More yeah. Like $200,000 or $250,000.
Yes.
Or maybe Michael can tell us.
My understanding is that what people were required, the station being required to pay, is what Jan just said. It's the difference between what people were paid plus the money they received from the unemployment insurance fund, the difference between that and what the full salary people who had been let go were restored and given back pay. That's not a fine. That's back pay. And then in addition, no, it's not a fine.
That part is not a fine.
None of that. None of what is being paid is a fine.
No. Yeah. Okay. Can we get back to the queue, please?
Actually, it is Ken and then
Yeah, Mansoor, pass. Ken, you're up.
Okay, Michael. I think all my questions are for Michael. I didn't understand what you said about the affiliates' money doesn't go to National. Jan said about $200,000 does.
I'll clarify it again. Third time.
Michael.
Loud. Go ahead.
Affiliates' money always goes to National, continue to go to National. Affiliates' money never covered the entire National office budget. The Central Service payments for the last several years have been based on the following formula. After considering what money the National office raises from the subcarrier fees and from the affiliates' fees, the difference between that and the cost of maintaining the National office are paid for by Central Service fees. The affiliates' fees have always gone to the National office or continue to go to the National office. The only difference is that the National office management took over the contracts because many of them were not being enforced and were not being renewed properly. There's no loss in funding from the affiliates' fees to the National office, and the affiliates' fees never covered the entire cost of the National office.
Thank you. Okay, so the next question is, is the National Finance Committee approve the station budgets? And if so, what's the delay on approving KPFK's budget?
The National Finance Committee made a recommendation for central service payments for the five stations based on the previous budgets. That was rejected by the Pacifica National Board. Subsequent to that, in addition, the Pacifica National Board passed the motion that Fred referred to, which is changing the calculation and how the subcarrier fees are counted, credited to each station. So we are still waiting for a final formulation of what the central service payments have to be from all the stations. We're still waiting for a final budget from WBAI. We're still waiting for a final budget from WPFW. And we have to finalize the national office budget. Once we do that, we can also finalize KPFA, KPFK, and KPFT, who have put in preliminary budgets. All of those will be put into a consolidated budget for the entire foundation, all seven units. The PRA is the other one.
So this is all approved by the National Finance Committee?
No, it has to be approved by the PMB. The National Finance Committee makes a recommendation to the National Board. So we have two meetings scheduled in the rest of this month, December 20th and December 27th. We are hoping to be able to complete that process by the end of December and send a recommendation to the National Board in January. We're asking the National Board to devote a special meeting just to the budget in January.
You're asking the existing board to have a special meeting or the new board?
Yes, it's the existing board because we're already 3 months into the fiscal year that began October 1st, and it's the existing board that was supposed to have approved it already.
Okay, one last question. You seem to have a broader understanding of what the settlement was. I'd like to know what extra information or line of information you have that the other directors didn't have, because the other directors, I think, finally got a response to Jan's request. But you seem to know more about what the settlement was, because the thing is, if there was, let's say, 1,000 hours of work, but they got paid, I don't understand. Did they get paid for the hours they worked, or they got paid their salary? And my question is, what's your source of information in addition to what the other directors have?
One moment.
Once you answer this, this session needs to be over. We need to move on.
Okay.
I have no other source of information. I think it's a different interpretation.
Hold on. Thank you. Michael, please.
I have no other information than any other director. I think it's a difference in interpretation.
Thank you.
Okay. We are, this part of the session is over.
Can you move to stand down for the people that are on the stack and finish up?
Could the point of order, the new parliamentarian, congratulations, but you are not, you don't get extra privilege, you're just a parliamentarian.
Okay.
That's why I was trying to talk the motion.
Okay. Do I hear a second for the motion?
We don't know what
I hear a, the motion is to extend time for question and answers to the directors and treasurer.
Point of information. She was trying to help you just in a time period.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, for maybe, what is it, two minutes apiece for questions?
Right.
For 5 minutes, we got three people on the list.
I second.
That's my
for 6 minutes.
Four or five minutes.
Okay. Is there any objection to the motion?
Okay. Is it 4 minutes or 5 minutes?
It's 6 minutes, 2 minutes per person. There's three people.
Say four.
Is there any objection? There was a second.
There were many seconds.
Hearing no objection, time's extended. And that's going to put us pretty close to needing to adjourn. We also need to discuss our location for our next meeting.
I'm actually on that phone stack.
So, now, in the preliminary arbitrator's ruling, it stated that both Zubery and Radford negotiated in good faith with the union, and the IED John Profit did not open the books. It did say that. I actually have a copy. And in your budget that you all received, it actually lays out the cost of the settlement under, I believe, severance. And it runs a little bit under $200,000. It's a bit. And I would wonder why We haven't gotten a straight answer on this and different answers. That's my question to the national board members.
Okay, we're allowing the directors to respond to the questions. Grace?
Okay, first of all, the arbitration agreement, to my knowledge, is a confidential document. I don't know why you have it or who you got it from.
I have the preliminary one that y'all released.
Okay.
Okay, fine, thank you. According to Leslie Radford, the information is in the budgets. I believe it's a total of about $200,000, but I don't believe that includes the legal fees that we had to incur to be represented in the arbitration. So that could be a sizable amount. I would estimate that the total cost to KPFK is between $200,000 and $250,000, not considering the lack of productivity of people who were put on half-time, thereby diminishing our total revenue. Our total revenue has decreased considerably in the last year, and that is, I would ascribe to the fact of the cutbacks in staff time and in pay. That's all.
Jan, if you would like to provide further clarification.
Oh, just to clarify, John Proffitt was left Pacifica towards the very beginning of the negotiations back and forth with the union, and I think that interim draft arbitration judgment said that it was the management, and as it turns out, the management included John Proffitt, but also included the interim executive director and perhaps the general manager. But I believe that the opening the books was a national question of the national board. It wasn't the local station board general manager who was in charge of that or not in charge of that.
Thank you, Jan. Sandy?
I'm sorry. I have a quick response. The arbitration was between Pacifica and SAG-AFTRA, and the legal costs are Pacifica's.
Thank you, Michael. Sandy, you're next on the list.
I wasn't on the list.
Okay. Grace, did you have something that you wanted to add?
I just suggest that because this is a holiday season and we're all super busy, that after this section, and I looked over the old business on the agenda, and I think we can push that forward to the next meeting or the meeting after that. So I would suggest that if we don't have any more public comment time that we have to do, that we adjourn this meeting.
Okay. Oh, no.
After we decide on the location for the next meeting.
Yeah, I think we're not going to have time unless we move and agree to extend time. And we need to return to...
Point of information on the location. Point of information on the location. We can have this location after noon on
that
day.
Information,
okay. Well, thank you.
Look it up.
But thank you for the information, Adam.
Well, yeah, afternoon we can have the building according to Lydia. She just went there.
Okay, excellent. As of what time do you know?
As of she suggested we schedule for 1 p.m. on that day, and then this building we don't have the ground.
Thank you for the information. Okay. Are we still in questions and answers on this?
No, that's...
Are we moving on to... We're moving on to meeting location. Okay. So I had a couple of hands up for the staff, Jan and Ken. Jan, go ahead.
Okay. So with points of information are usually questions as opposed to giving information.
Right.
Yeah. But in light of the information... Which Adam just gave us, I move that we... set our meeting for 1:30 on January 8th at the same location.
Okay. It has been moved and seconded that our January 8th meeting be at 1:30 on January 8th, 2017. Are there any objections?
No.
Hearing no objections, Motion carries. Do I hear a motion to adjourn? Do I hear a second? Any objections? No objections. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.
Oh, where are the committee sign-up sheets?
Committee sign-up sheets, please make sure that you sign up and get them back to our acting secretary, Ms. Barbara Merba.
That wasn't that painful today.